at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Y'all helping our saint.
Name on it.
I can claim it right now.
Name on it.
you came in right now.
What's your name on it?
What's your name on it?
What's your name?
Come on, say
on it.
What's your name on it?
What's your name on it?
What's your name on it?
What's your name?
One more time.
On
what's your name on?
What's your name on it?
Hallelujah. God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
My God's got a blessing.
God's got a blessing.
What's your name on it?
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 All you got to do is claim it. He's got your name on it. He's got that car in
your name.
He's got that house in your name. He's got that healing in your name. He's got that healing in your name. That prodigal son that left home. He's coming right back home, y'all. What's your name on it?
What's your name on it?
Oh, come on and thank God for that blessing with your name on it. I know it's mine because it has my name on it. Amen. Let's thank God for our children, our young people on today. God bless you, young people. Amen, 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 amen. As we stand, prepare our hearts for the reading of God's word. I want to call your attention as our young people come in quietly. I want to call your attention to the book of Psalms, the 119th number. And this is our Thanksgiving season, and y'all know that during the month of November, I normally speak each Sunday a message that has to do with Thanksgiving, and I wanted to approach it from a different angle today. Yes, being thankful, but not being thankful what you ordinarily think you ought to be thankful for. Amen. So in the 119th number of Psalms, we're going to read for your hearing verses 65 through 71. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 71. So happy to see my brother Glenn make it in the house today. We're praying for him. Amen. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 71. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. And then finally, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Amen. God bless you. As you take your seats in the presence of the Lord, Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and we pray, God, that you will speak a word into our hearts. We thank you, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I want to talk this morning about being thankful for afflictions. Being thankful for afflictions. The psalmist says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Thank you, ushers. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Not too many of us, if any of us, run looking for affliction. Very few of us would warmly embrace affliction. As a matter of fact, the rational human being is not looking with anticipatory joy for affliction to show up in their lives. Affliction is that which causes pain and distress. Affliction, by its very definition, is that which is catastrophic and calamitous. Very few, if any of us, go looking for affliction. Tell your neighbor, affliction is uncomfortable. Amen, amen. I've never heard, amen, one person pray and ask God to give them affliction. And it makes sense, because affliction, by its very definition, will upset us and cause us pain and discomfort. No one is praying and asking God to send affliction into their lives. Some, during this shutdown that, thank God, is now over, amen, some experienced affliction during the shutdown. Hurricanes, like I think it's Melissa that hit Jamaica and the Caribbean islands, amen, brought much affliction. Floods, amen, the pandemic brought about affliction. People lying in hospital beds, sick unto death, they are experiencing affliction. No one in their right mind, no one who is sane and practical, has as a fervent desire to experience affliction. However, the psalmist says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." What in the world is he talking about? What in the world is he thinking to make him make a statement like this? It is, in a real sense, oxymoronic. It is paradoxical to even say the same two words in the same sentence, good and affliction. How can he fix his mouth to say, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted"? Well, maybe we need to get into his psyche. Amen. Maybe we need to get into his mind to try and figure out how he could make this kind of a statement. What are you talking about? It is good for me that I was afflicted. Well, as we take a closer examination of this text, there are at least three things that we can glean from the passage that should help us to better understand how he comes to this point in his existence where he is happy. Tell your neighbor he's happy. He's excited. Tell that other neighbor he's excited. He is joyful, if you will, about affliction coming into his life. The first thing that we can glean from this passage as to how the psalmist is able to ultimately bring himself to making the statement that it was good for him that he was afflicted, first of all, it seems that he is saying that his affliction reveals his connection to God. That's the first point. Amen. Affliction will reveal your connection to God. If you read Psalm 119 and verse 71, you will see that not only does the psalmist say that it was good for him that he was afflicted, but if you read on to the latter part of the verse, you will see where he says that it was good for him that he was afflicted, that he might learn God's statutes. Talking about his word. Amen, 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 amen. Please understand that these are the reflections. These are the ruminations of someone who has already come through something, and as a consequence, he is better able to share the reflections of what he has already experienced. Anybody in here ever been through something? Amen, amen. He says, "It was good for me that I was afflicted, because as a consequence of my affliction, I learned the word of the Lord." Oh my, you find that he uses, when you read that whole 119th number of Psalms, you find that he uses a whole lot of words that are synonymous to the word of God. You'll find words like precepts, statutes, his law, his judgments. But all of these words point back to the depth and the profundity of the word of Jehovah, Yahweh, God, the word of the true and living God. I wonder if there is anybody here today who, because of affliction, you found yourself running to the word of God for an answer. You found yourself running to hear the word of God from some preacher because you know that his word will keep you. Every believer ought to be excited about the word. Amen, 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 amen. And when you look at this passage, you notice that he uses a structure and a word pattern that reminds us of the wonder, the wealth, and the worth of the word of God. Y'all ought to be happy when you hear the word of God. When you hear that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, that ought to make you happy. When you hear that the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? That ought to make you happy. When you hear that my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Come on, where are my folk? That makes you happy. When you hear that in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. That ought to make you happy. When you hear that the word became flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, that ought to make you happy. You should not have to have anybody pumping you up. You should not have to have anybody prodding you to give God praise when you hear the word of God. Come on, where are my witnesses who know his word will make you happy? When you hear that if it had not been for the Lord. Ooh, see, y'all ain't been through some of the stuff I've been through. I'm talking about friends who said they had my back. I'm talking about family that I thought would be there in my worst time of need. But I found out that when I got in trouble, that when things got tight, the folk that I was counting on were not there. And so I can stand flat-footed with truth and say that if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Come on, if you know God helped you make it, you ought to give him praise. You ought to give him praise. Amen, 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 amen. I thank God for the word. He said that when I was afflicted, I received marching orders from God that helped me to understand that my affliction was not going to, amen, take me out, but my affliction was going to make me better. Do I need to back up, rewind, and say that again? Amen, amen. The word taught me that when I got in affliction, that when I got in trouble, that when I experienced trials, amen, that those trials were not going to take me out, but they were sure enough going to make me better. Where are my better folk? I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. Thank you, God. I learned that my affliction was not to destroy me, but to make me better. And I wonder how many of us can look back over our lives and see that those moments when we were afflicted by some burden, by some calamity, but as we reflect on it, now we realize that if we had not gone through that, we would not be who we are now. I said, if I had not gone through that, I wouldn't be the man I am now. If I had not gone through that, I wouldn't be as strong as I am now. If I had not gone through that, I wouldn't have a praise in the midst of trouble right now. You ought to thank God. In the midst of trouble, thank God on today. Is there anybody in the room who can testify that my affliction made me stronger? Gave me a greater and stronger connection to my God. He says, it's good for me that I was afflicted so that I might learn thy statutes. I learned some things while I was being afflicted that I could not have learned otherwise. I do have some witnesses who will testify that you can learn some things when it's raining that you cannot learn when the sun is shining. I know I got at least two witnesses up in here who will testify that you can learn some things in the deep, dark valleys of life that you cannot learn on the mountaintop. There are some things you learn when your money is funny and your change is strange that you cannot learn when you've got a bank account that's overflowing. You learn that the Lord will make a way somehow. Come on, help me. You learn that God will supply all of your needs. Come on, help me, somebody. You learn that he will put peace in your situation. He will put joy back in your heart. You learn that he's able to put running in your feet and clapping in your hands, even when people are lying on you and talking about you. Where are my folk who will testify? Thank God I learned something. You learned something that Paul said. Y'all hear Paul? Paul said, whatever state I'm in. I said, whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content. He said, I didn't get this by showing up to church on time. He said, I learned this after going through some ups and some downs, some ins and some outs, some twists and some turns, some pitfalls and some peaks. Paul said, I learned some things. Now, can I mess with y'all's theology before I finish this message? Can I mess with your theology? I need you to understand that this affliction that the psalmist is talking about is not orchestrated by the devil. That's going to mess up somebody's theology. I said that the affliction that the psalmist is celebrating, the affliction that the psalmist is being thankful about, is not orchestrated by the devil. I need you to understand that there are some things that happen in our lives as children of the Most High God that the devil would never bring us to for fear that we might learn some things that he doesn't want us to know. Oh my, oh my, oh my. I need to tell you, don't ever, amen, allow the apparent ease of somebody else's life to convince you that somehow they have a closer or stronger connection to God. Don't ever look at your neighbor and think that just because, amen, they all their bills are met and their children are doing good in school and, amen, everything is going well on their job. Don't ever look at somebody else who seems to be having a better time of life and assume that because they seem to have it good, they have a stronger connection to God. I told you I was going to mess with y'all's theology this morning. Amen. The true disciple of Christ understands that every now and then God will circumnavigate the circumstances of our lives to put us in a situation where we are helpless and hopeless without him. Let me back up, rewind, and say that again. The true disciple of Christ understands that every now and then God will circumnavigate the circumstances of life to put us in a situation where we got to throw up our hands and say, if he don't help me, I is not going to get no help. And I know that's bad English. If he don't bring me out of this, I will not come out of it. Is there anybody looking back over your life, you can testify that God put you in some situations where you had to fall down on your face before him and call his name and say, Lord, if you don't help me, if you don't make a way, if you don't open doors, I'm not going to make it. I wish I had 3 or 4 survivors in here to just testify. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll bring you through. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but there's somebody in this room who's thinking about getting up. There's somebody in this room who's thinking about throwing in the towel because you feel like God has abandoned you. You feel like God has forsaken you. But I have come by on this Sunday morning to tell someone who's dealing with affliction right now. I'm talking to someone who's saying, I don't like where I am right now. I don't like what I'm going through right now. You look real churchy, but I came to tell you that you'd better learn how to shout in the midst of your affliction. So you better learn how to shout in the midst of your affliction. See, some of y'all waiting to come out. Some of y'all waiting to come through. But you cannot move the heart of God unless you celebrate the fact that he's with you in the affliction. He's with you in the fiery furnace. He's with you in the lion's den. He's with you in your sickness. He's with you in your mess. Give him praise for being a present God. Learn how, and I'm almost done. Learn how to give him praise with the affliction. I don't know when he's going to bring you out of it, but while you're in it, just know that he's teaching you something. Come on, y'all help me preach this. Look at somebody, point at him and say, he's training you. Find somebody else, point at him and say, he's tutoring you. Find you somebody else, point at him and say, he's developing you. And point to yourself and say, he's molding me. He's equipping me so that he can use me for his glory. Oh, bless his name. Bless his name. Sometimes it is grief. Sometimes it is death. Sometimes it's termination. Sometimes it's being laid off. Sometimes it's wondering how you're going to pay those bills. Sometimes it's wondering, Lord, why did you give me these children? Sometimes it's wondering, Lord, why did you give me this husband or this wife? Amen. But whatever it is, I have come by to remind you that God is training you. He's teaching you. He's getting you ready so that you will have a testimony on the other side. It's drawing you closer to the Lord. Because can we be real? Some of us wouldn't pray if we didn't have the affliction. Some of y'all wouldn't be at church on this Sunday morning, but for the affliction. Some of us would never say, Lord, help, if we never had afflictions. So my first point is that the psalmist celebrated the fact that he had afflictions because he realized that his afflictions drew him closer to the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But secondly, y'all, not only does he say that his afflictions drew him closer to the Lord, there also appears to be the suggestion that the psalmist is saying that his affliction caused him to be more committed to God. It's one thing to be connected to God, but it's something else to be committed to God. I can survey this room and find a lot of folk who wouldn't be lying if you said you are connected to him. Amen. But the list gets shorter when we start looking for folk who are committed to him. The people who only come to church on the first and third Sunday, Sister Robinson, they have a connection, but they're not necessarily committed. Committed people come to church as often as they possibly can because they understand what Luke 4 and 16 says. Luke 4 and 16, it says, Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day as was his custom. Can I burst somebody's bubble up in here? If Jesus had to go to church, if Jesus thought it was necessary every Sabbath to get in the church house, with all the drama in your life, you ought to just come park outside even when the church ain't open. Just getting, amen. I just need to be near the place, amen. With all the drama, with all this mess that's going on in my life, I need to be at church all the time. So the reality is that connected folk read and study the Bible every now and then, but committed people say, I got to get in the Word every day. Oh, my, oh, my. Because they understand that when they read the Word of God, they get stronger, they mature, they develop, they become like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, and its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a committed person. Connected people only pray when they get in a jam. But committed people pray when they get out of the bed in the morning. Because I realized this alarm clock did not wake me up this morning. And the fact that the Lord, amen, has given me another day, the first thing I was going to do is tell